So I too want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And isn't it a great day to be here in God's house? That's right. And so here's what I want to do to begin. If you'd like a Bible to follow along with, our ushers have Bibles, so just by showing your hands. And also, if you didn't grab an outline that's in the church bulletin, we also, Scott there, also has a half sheet outline if you'd like to follow along with that as well. So, as those are being handed out, we began a couple weeks ago in a series in the book of Romans, where specifically we're going to be looking at chapters 1 through 5 from now until the end of the summer, called Starting Point. And what we said was this, is that we said that what we want to do is we want to get back and take a look at the foundations of the Christian faith. And even if you've had a faith journey with God for a very long time, it's okay to review those basics. Last week we took a look at that as we continue to grow a Jesus culture here at Hope Community Church, we realize that we are much stronger together than we are ever alone. So I want to ask you, how many of you have had someone in your life at times where when you were one-on-one, everything was fabulous, but when they were out in public with you, they were completely embarrassing? Like, you know, I cannot believe you just said that, or I cannot believe that you would do something like that. I've had them, and just to let you know, it's not any of you here today, okay? So you can breathe a little easier. But several years back, I did have someone in my life like that, and it was like, my goodness, I don't know why we're friends, but there's just, you know, it's like I needed duct tape and some rope just to, that you wouldn't do anything crazy, because one-on-one, this person was fine. But the moment that we got around other people, I was utterly embarrassed of things he would say or things that he would do. Now, the opposite is true. How many of you have ever had someone let you know how proud they are of you? All right. Or how about you? There, Denny, I'm proud of you. All right. So how many of you have said to someone, you know, I am very proud of you? Yeah. So when I was putting together a video for my daughter's 16th birthday, I began to think about her life. And I specifically thought about her 8th grade promotion. And I would tell my wife, I'm like, you know, let's just be honest, we're celebrating mediocrity here. She hasn't graduated from high school. She's moving up from junior high to high school. And she would go, honey, this is a great moment in her life. You got to support her. Yeah, okay. But here's the deal. I'm just being real with you today. So here's what happened. So we're at the school, and when they called her name and they gave her that certificate, man, just what welled up in me was like, that's my girl. She's moving to high school. Wow, she's moving to high school, y'all. And so pictures went on Facebook, and I'm calling people. It was like we had another kid, right? But I was proud in that moment of my daughter, as hopefully I'm not embarrassing her right now. I did ask her ahead of time if it was okay to share that, and she said it was all right. So, but why I ask those questions is it brings us to today. It brings us to the idea and our message of not ashamed. And when I think of not ashamed, what we want to specifically look at is being not ashamed of the gospel. And when I think about not being ashamed of the gospel, I think of two ladies that we prayed for as a church, probably maybe about a little over a year ago. And their names are Miriam, and she's the lady in the red, and Marziah, who is in the blue. We called them M&M. And it was about 3 weeks ago that I saw them being interviewed on television. And the interviewer was saying, listen, what was your story? Like, what ended you up in one of the most dangerous prisons in the Middle East? And they said it was because we let people know that we were Jesus followers. And he goes, no, really. Wait, like, was it a political thing? Was there something that you did in your culture that was offensive? And they said, no, it was because we're Jesus followers. And they continued to share this story about how for the 290 days that they were in prison, they had the opportunity to share about Jesus to whether it was guards, whether it was prison mates, and whoever came across their path. And they continued to say in this interview and in their book that they were promoting their book. It's called Captive in Iran. And story after story after story after story, why you're here is because we follow Jesus. And those are two ladies that are not ashamed of the gospel. And see, when we look at this today, what we want to do, if you're following along your outline, is this. Our main idea this morning is that God's story is the greatest story forever told. God's story is the greatest story forever told. And see, why God's story is the greatest story forever told is because of what he's done for humankind. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But for me, I don't know about you, there's sometimes when we have moments where we have barriers that keep us from whether it's sharing God's story or whether it's living out this good news that we profess, and it stops us from doing that. I don't know about you. Have you ever had a time where you're in with a group of people and they begin to talk about religion and you're like, boy, I hope they don't ask me. Please just skip me. Please don't say anything. And then, you know, God comes in and is like, oh no. Oh boy, I'm getting nervous, right? I've had those moments in my own life. And you may be thinking, well, you're the pastor, right? But I'm human too. And so what we see here when we're looking at this idea of barriers, the barriers that we may have at times or we're afraid, barriers that we don't feel educated enough biblically, or we're afraid that we're going to lose relationships if we open our mouths and share the good news of what Jesus has done. So in your outline, there is a blank there that says, it's not a blank, but there's a blank next to the word barrier. If there's a barrier that you have in sharing the good news of Jesus, go ahead and write that down, because I'm going to share with you too. All right, so I'm going to put my barrier up. So while you're writing that down, I'm going to put this up here. All right, so for me, at times, my barrier is acceptance. I feel at times that if enough, the relationship with the person that I know is done. I feel at times that the momentum that I've gained with an individual is gone. And so for me, it's acceptance. And another thing that I'd like to share today, too, is that if you leave it up to the elders, if you leave it up to the pastors, if you leave it up to the missionaries, then it's not going to get done. And here's why I share that is because I don't live in your neighborhood. I don't work with you. I don't go to school with you. I don't have your circle of friendships. I don't have your circle of influence. And you may be thinking, well, why are you putting that back on me, Jeff? Well, here's the thing. If it's not you, then who? If it's not me, then who will share the good news of Jesus to a lost, a dying, and a broken world? So here's what I want to do. I want to encourage us today. I want to challenge us today with the words that Paul gives us, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Romans chapter 1. So if you go ahead and we're going to turn there, we're going to look at two verses today. This is the letter that Paul has written to the church in Rome. And now he's telling a little bit of his story. And not only is he telling a little bit of his story, he's also sharing about this whole idea. What is the gospel? What is good news? So if you're there, let's read together, starting with verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." Paul was saying that God used a specific people group to bring about his son, Jesus, to the world. And Jesus was to be and proclaim the good news to the Jewish people, and from there it was to all. And that's what Paul's saying. Then he goes on to say in verse 17, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." And so we began our series a couple of weeks ago, and we said the theme of our series is this: our faith journey begins by God's work of grace in our lives. Now, if there was a second theme to these next couple of months together, it would be this. Paul saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." And when I think about this idea of not being ashamed and the good news, the gospel, God's story, I think about being a storyteller. How many of you are familiar with the show Storytellers? So on VH1. Okay, so several of you know. Now what the show is that artists come on and they just share their music. So it's like a more of an intimate concert setting. But what they do is that before each song, they share the story behind the song. So I remember watching Bon Jovi, right? So that was a big group in my day. And okay, so we're going to keep moving on there. Back in the day when Bon Jovi was really big, they shared about living on a prayer, and they shared the story behind it. So when they played that song, I'm going, ah, I get it. Okay, that makes a lot more sense to me. So when we think about being a storyteller of God's story, and we begin to share the good news of Jesus Christ, we want to be able to be narrators of the greatest story forever told. And so what I'd like to do is just take a few moments with you and talking about being a storyteller. And in your outline, the first thing to remember when being a storyteller is this, is that our job is to share, God's job is to save. Our job is to share, God's job is to save. Once again, Paul makes his statement, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." So why does he say it? Well, he continues on in verse 16. He says, "Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." You see, Paul was not embarrassed to share the good news of Jesus. Not only that, he was not embarrassed to share with people what God did in his life. As we shared a couple weeks ago, God flipped his world upside down. And he wasn't ashamed to share that. But here's what he didn't say. He did not say, "I, Paul, am the Savior of the world." He didn't say, "I, Paul, will rescue anyone who believes." No, he said, "It all begins with God's power that brings salvation to everyone who believes." You see, in my life, and maybe even in your life as well, we wrestle with this. Because we know people, and we're in their lives, and we're going, "Listen, if I could just save this one person from this attitude, or save them from this type of behavior, or save them and get them out of this troubled situation, God, you just work out the little things, just work in me, and I'll take care of that individual." And what happens is that we become delusional, and we become to think that we're something that we're not. We're not Jesus. You know, it's like that one television commercial where the guy's in the operating room and the doctors walk in. They're like, "What are you doing here?" He's like, "I have no idea, but, you know, I stayed in a Hilton Express last night." Holiday Inn Express, yeah. Well, he's not a doctor, just like you and I aren't God. You and I aren't the ones who have the power to save. The Bible tells us clearly here that it is God's power that brings salvation. You see, what the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 5, which we're going to look at this summer, in verse 6 specifically, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." You see, in a moment where we were helpless, in a moment that we realized that it wasn't what I do, it isn't about religion, it's what Jesus did for me. But when we stay in that mode of it's all that I have to do, we realize I'm helpless. I cannot do this. And what Jesus did is he gave up his life for those who were not God. Jesus gave up his life for those who weren't perfect, which I am one of them. But see, what God did was just at the right time, not in 2013, not in the future, but when he did, was just at the right time. And so what we see here is that Jesus, when he went to the cross to die for the sins of humankind, he said, "I am not ashamed to stand between the sin of humanity and the anger that God has against it. I will stand in between those two things." If you remember the handcuffs where Steve, he couldn't get himself out, and he had to have his son Jake come and uncuff him. And what we said was, when we are made right with God, God sees us through Jesus. That's the good news. That's the gospel message. That's the story that you and I can tell about what God has done in our lives. You know, speaking of not being ashamed and being someone who shares the story and allows God to save, Duck Dynasty, anybody watch Duck Dynasty? I know I'm on TV today, but you actually watch that? No. All right, yeehaw. Well, listen, I have to be honest. I have never watched an episode of Duck Dynasty, but I did see an interview with one of the people on the show. His name's Jays Robertson. Jays Robertson, here in this interview, shares about how he became a follower of Jesus, but then he shares about what really changed for him to not be ashamed and to continue to tell his story. So let's take a look here at Jays' interview, and then we'll continue. Denny, if you get the lights, that'd be great.
your faith, Jace, have you had any surprising obstacles that have arisen over the last few years during this growth in popularity? Any things that you've had to kind of step back, and you're very grounded and you're very committed.
I think with anything, you know, it goes back to the decision you made. And, you know, when I was 14 years old, I was a shy guy. You know, I was a typical teenager, and I was scared of the limelight. My number one fear was public speaking. I mean, I never wanted to get up and say anything. And the more I looked at this Jesus and what he did, his death and his burial and his resurrection, I decided to make him Lord of my life and put my faith and trust in him. My dad baptized me in the Washita River when I was 14. And my take was, I just thought living a Christian life was more playing defense. And so for about 2 years, I just basically tried to do good things, but I didn't realize that if you're vocal about your faith, the pressure is then put on the people that you're sharing with. And then I realized how powerful the message was. So I guess my point is, sometimes I still get those same thoughts of, well, what if I say this, or, you know, what if I offend somebody? And then I realize it's not about me. The power's in God. It's in the message and what he did. And so I always go back to that. You know, when I was about 16, when I realized the true power of it when it's shared. And so, you know, it's just like anything else. Sometimes you get off track, and then you realize, you know what? I need to be vocal about this. There's where the power is.
So where did he say the power was? You're allowed to share. Where's the power? It's in the message. And once he realized, changed his whole perspective on being a storyteller of the greatest story forever told. You know, and what's fascinating too is you see this guy, you know, and we think bumpkin. Well, maybe I do. But God loves him just as much as he does me. And I remember also in the interview, he said, listen, a couple of things about reality TV. They want a lot of dysfunction. They want a lot of yelling. And they want a lot of four-letter words. And they try to get that in the show. But he said after a while, they began to see that that wasn't going to happen, because they see who they live for. See, the power is in the message. The power is not in us. Our job is to be that narrator of God's story. And so you may be asking yourself, well, that's great, Jeff, but how would I get started? How would this even happen if I was to begin to share God's story about my life? One of the things that I began realizing is, what do you have in common with those people who are in your life? In other words, maybe there's an interest you have in common. Maybe sports you have in common. Maybe kids you have in common. Maybe there's hobbies that you have in common, your job. But where's some common ground that you have with an individual who has never heard God's story? And, you know, the second thing is that, how about come up with a one-minute moment? Our students know what I'm talking about, because we just did this last Sunday. Having a way to share God's story in about a minute, in a language that could be easily understood. So for me, if I'm to give a one-minute moment to an adult, I would share differently than I would with a student. So, for example, I was out talking with some of the kids from the high school, and one of them came up to me and said, Jeff, look at all my new tattoos. So he's like from wrist to shoulder. And I was like, whoa, dude, that's a lot of ink. And then I looked on his elbow, and I said, what's on your elbow? Oh, he's like, there are three crosses. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I said, what does that all mean? He's like, oh, yeah, Jesus died for the sins of the world. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm religious. Oh, okay, you're religious. And we began a conversation. And another kid said, well, I don't believe in God. And I said, well, you don't believe in any higher power? He's like, no way. I said, well, how are you breathing right now? You know, and then the group began laughing, and we were able to talk there. And then I had another kid say, well, I had this religious thing, ceremony happen when I was a kid, but nothing's changed in my life. And we were able to talk about what the difference is between God's grace and religion. But I had that one-minute moment to be able to share the good news to those who have never heard the story of Jesus. You know, with that, in your outline, you see it says the powerful message. And the powerful message is from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. And it speaks about how someone, if they say, yes, I'm ready to follow Jesus, that you're able to say, this is what it takes. So why don't we turn there to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Listen to what this says. This is awesome. This is good news. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. As the scriptures say, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And so what we challenged our students with last week was, we said, take this week and read these verses over and over again and say, how can I put this in a language that is easily understood? Because once again, we may have people that we have different things in common with, so we may not speak the same language to them. If you look at Paul's life in Acts, he spoke different language, or not like language, but a different way to different people groups that he was with. And so it's, once again, it's having that 1 minute moment, finding common ground with others, and looking at the powerful message. So the question that I have for us this morning is, who in our lives needs to hear God's story? Who in our lives needs to hear God's story? So I'm going to put the next one up. I'm going to put up person. And so in your outline as well, there's a space. If someone's coming to mind, go ahead and put that person down. It could be a coworker, it could be a classmate, it could be a family member. Whoever that is, go ahead and put them down. Now for me, I'm going to put X. Now here's why. Because the individual who I have a relationship with right now may be listening to this online this week, and I want to respect our relationship, and I don't want this individual to feel like they're a project. So just trust me, I do have someone that I've been having a relationship with, and if you really, really have to know, you can talk to me after the service. But here's the thing. There are people in our lives who may need to hear God's story. But what we can remember is this, is that our barrier is trumped by God's power. Any barrier that I have about being accepted, I've already been accepted by God, by his grace and his mercy and his love. So I don't have to worry about being accepted by others. And so when I take the time to share God with person X, then what happens is, however that looks, what happens is that their role in this whole process is to respond to God's story. That's it. And if they say, no, thank you, don't want to be a friend with you no more, you're out of your mind, you're crazy, you know, they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the story and the invitation that God has for them. So we see that it's God's power that trumps our barriers. With that individual, we share our story, and it's them that responds. Because once again, we need to remember, it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Let's keep focused on God, not our barriers. Let's work at keeping away from having a Messiah complex, because it's our God who saves. And finally, let's pray for boldness and clarity when we commit to being a storyteller of the greatest story forever told. So it's understanding that we share, God saves. The second is this, is that we live out the gospel until the story is complete. We live out the gospel until the story is complete. Paul ends here in these two verses. In verse 17, it says, the righteous will live by faith. And we shared what that means, is that when we come to a place by faith and believe that God has sent his son into the world to die for the sins of humankind, God, we are made right with him. Okay, so when we're made right with him, we said 2 weeks ago that what God says is, through my son, you have a relationship with me. And so what this is saying here is, when we live out the gospel until the story is complete, is that this is a faith that accepts God's forgiveness of sins, but just doesn't end there. You see, what it does is it transforms our hearts It transforms our lives. It's a faith that continues to trust in the promises of God throughout our lives as we live obediently to God's ways. That's the good news. Now, for some of us, can you remember the time when you said yes to follow Jesus? You're allowed to raise your hand. It's okay. This is a good place. All right. It's a safe place, right? And think about, if you can think back to the excitement that you had, to like this overwhelming rush and this sensation that you had, and you wanted to let people know, and there was just, something has changed. My world has been turned upside down. Do you remember that? I remember that. And then what happens is in our lives, our life starts to go on, right? Things begin to happen. And then the one moment that we said, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go, and then we feel that he's distant. Or we say, you're my Lord and Savior, and then now today we feel that he's uninterested in us. But here's what we need to know about what Paul's saying here. The good news just wasn't for that one time moment. The good news is for you and I today. See, there's good news that tells us that I want to change and transform your heart to become more like my son. The good news says, wherever you've been broken, I will heal you. The good news says is that I will help you conquer. I will help you overcome. And I will help you do greater things for my name if you just allow me to. It's a good news that's constant until the story is over. And see, the truth is that the more we take time to learn that and to apply it to our lives, as Steve had prayed today, the more the truth will continue to set us free. So when we talk about this idea of living the good news, you know, we shared already today, Christ Home. Those teen moms want to see Jesus in action. They don't want to hear us talk about it. They want us to show it. Or at the pancake breakfast, when we connect with those at the Upper Moreland High School Booster Club. They just want to see it. And maybe we don't share it. But what we do is we live it out until the story is complete. See, the Bible tells us that there's going to come a day when Jesus returns for his family. You see, that's when the story is complete here on earth. But it's good news for now. It just wasn't good news for then, but it's a good news for now. So the question is, where in our lives has the good news faded? Where in our lives has the good news faded? Maybe for some of us, it's the good news is good news for everybody else, but not for me. Because I've been living in a way that, man, I just don't know if God will forgive me for that. It may be attitudes that we have towards others. It may be belief systems or lifestyles that we say wrong, wrong, and wrong. But how are we living out the good news? And where has it faded in our lives? The Bible tells us in Habakkuk chapter 2, it says, the evil nation is very proud of itself, and it is not living it as it should. Next Sunday, we're going to take a look at that as we look at what God hates. But here's what we can be assured of is that, but those who are right with God will live by faith. You see, if you think about it, when we're in eternity celebrating God, we're not going to need faith. Just want to let you know that, because our faith will become visible to us. But it's living the gospel now until the story is complete. You know, with person X here, times when I have with them, I have a common ground. It's kids. And so this individual has a young child, so we talk a little bit about that. But then I'm asked, well, what do you do when this life situation happens? Because this individual, knows that I'm a pastor. And this individual says, well, what do you do when this happens? Or what do you do when that happens? And I say, am I free to share with you my faith in this? He's like, sure. And I share about how God has showed me how to do things, whether it's handling my kids, whether it's handling my finances, whether it's handling my relationships with others. Because I respect that individual where they are. But person X is always asking me those things each time that we get together. I don't bring it up. I'm just living it out in front of him. And that brings curiosity to say, what is it about you that makes you so different? You know, when we spoke of Mariam and Marziah, One of the things they shared as the interview came to a conclusion was that they said, after the 290 plus days of being in one of the most dangerous prisons in the Middle East, they said, we were having church almost every single day. And I'm going, you're having church every single day. And then they continued to share, or actually Maryam said, what I realized was this, is we had more opportunity to share the good news of Jesus when we were in 290 plus days of prison than we ever had in the years that we were believers outside of imprisonment. You see, they not only shared the good news, but they lived it. They would clean bathrooms that no one would, that were filthy and disgusting. They would hang around women who they were told, don't go around them, they're bad news. Or being befriending a guard that they said, they want you dead, you know that, right? But they lived out the gospel until that part of their story was complete, because they were not ashamed. They had a story to tell, and they knew that it was the power of God that would change lives. You know, as a pastor at times, I'll be honest with you, I think about teaching on a Sunday or teaching our students, and I get done, and I'm like, well, did anybody get it? You know, because, like, I'm not ashamed of sharing the gospel with you. I'm not ashamed of sharing how to live this God life in the world that we live in, right, and in our culture. And when I thought about that question over the past couple of weeks, it brought me back to our youth, because on Sunday nights, periodically we have what's called My Story. And in it, students share about how they came to faith in Jesus, but they also share about what God's doing in their life right now. And then I began thinking about the stories that I heard. Students saying, listen, I had a rough patch in my life, but now I'm not ashamed to share with people about how God got me through it. Or other students saying, listen, I'm not ashamed to pray with other Christian students in my school for my school. Or another student saying, listen, I'm not ashamed to let my family, my friends know that I'm a Jesus follower and I'm getting baptized this summer, you know? And it was like, in all those times we had tears of joy, or we erupted in celebrating with them and what God is doing in their lives right now. And we encourage that because we say, you have a story to tell too. Don't leave it up to me. Don't leave it up to the older folks, because we have another generation that we want to raise up as a Jesus culture. And it encouraged me, you know, that, wow, they are getting it. And Jeff, it ain't about you, so thank God for that. But what we want to ask, as we have looked at not being ashamed, we said it's our job to share. It's God's job to save. And we said we live this gospel out until the story is complete. But I want to ask, what story are you telling? If you really had to sit and reflect this morning, what story are you telling? You know, for some of us this morning, it may be that we need to rediscover the gospel. Where we saw it as, you know, it was that one-time deal so many moons ago. And I'm not feeling good news much lately. And it could be because of choices. It could be because of choices of others. It could be barriers that you have. Saying, God couldn't love me as much as he says he does. It could be that I don't feel accepted. I feel alone. It may be that today you realize that by faith, God will help remove the barriers that are in your way. Because he will. He's a healer. He's a sustainer. He's a rock. He's comfort. Maybe today you may say to yourself or to God, say, God, you know what? I'm not ashamed. But the times that I'm in public, can you help me with that? Can you just help me make Jesus a natural part of my conversation and a natural part of my life? Maybe it's saying, you know what, I realize that I need to get plugged in, and whether it's with a small group or begin serving. Maybe it's looking at that person today on your outline and saying, you know what, this week, I want to share what God has done in my life. No matter what the outcome is, I'm doing this for you, God. Maybe it's you're just like that student who said, this summer I'm getting baptized. Maybe that's where you are today, where you want your family and your friends and the world around you to know that your allegiance is to Christ. You know, maybe today you've discovered God's story. You know, maybe it's that you realize that you've had barriers to even following Jesus. Maybe you see Jesus today as the only one who can move those barriers out of your way. You may have excuses to say, you know what, you don't know what my life's like. And I'm sure God doesn't know what it's like. But he does. And he says, listen, I'm inviting you to be a part of the greatest story forever told. That's what he does. We have a story to tell to the world around us. You know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about creating a new culture. We want to create a new culture here. Not that it's old, but that we want to be a Jesus culture. It's for him, for his kingdom, for his name, and his renown. And we're not ashamed. Because you know what, if you think about it, I know in my own life, there's a lot of things that we're very vocal about or opinionated about, right? Something, topic comes up, and we're like, bam, I have something to say. And then the moment that word G-O-D comes up, we clam up. But today, it's by faith that we live until the story is complete. And that's going to look different for each and every one of us. But it's by God's power that we share God's story. And we allow those to respond to his invitation. I don't know what that looks like for you. But here's what I'll say. This morning as we come to a close, this is your opportunity to respond to God. What I've asked is I've asked a couple of the elders to come forward this morning. Not to embarrass anyone or not to make you feel awkward, but maybe God's broken through today for you. Maybe he's broken through and you get that, wow, I don't have to be ashamed of the one who saved me. And as we sing through, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And we're going to sing about who we're not ashamed, who is Jesus. It's only Jesus. And finally, if that's you today, who you've said, I realize that God did save me through sending his son as my substitute to pay for my sin. If you believe that by faith today, the Bible says that your life will be forever changed. God, we come to you this morning. And I ask you to forgive me for when I allow my acceptance to trump your power. God, I pray for us here at Hope Community Church that we would choose to continue to grow as a Jesus culture. God, that we would be people who are not ashamed of the one who has saved us from eternal separation from you. God, we do have barriers. It may not be barriers about sharing your story. We may have barriers or we may be embarrassed of ourselves, of how we're living, of the things that we're involved with, of the lies we believe. God, I pray that we would respond to you today. It's not about singling anybody out or who has to go first. It's about you breaking through. Pray that your truth penetrates our hearts. And in this moment, it's for you, Jesus. Only Jesus.